Guten Morgen.
Good morning, everybody.
That's German for good morning.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's a new year.
It is. It feels
Happy New Year, everybody.
Disappointingly similar to last year already.
I was going to say, Mark, everything's fine now because it's a new year. But I will say one great thing. We have a new friend. So we need to introduce our friend.
Is your friend's name Robbie?
Doesn't have a name yet. So this is a robot bird, see, complete with antennas and a little helicopter and then cool robot feet.
Oh.
Yeah. So this is thanks to Catherine and Adam. Mm-hmm. So thank you very much for this great present.
Based on what the eyes are made of, I would say that's really cool.
Oh, my God.
Dan already gave me shit this morning because he's like, "What? I can't read. What does that say on the title page?" I'm like, Degeneration. It's an unwieldy pun because we're talking about mental degeneration. And the nation.
Unwieldy.
So moving forward. Oh, just so everyone knows, puns are just a bonus. That's not what we actually focus on. This is episode 147 of Transmission. And I'm Mark Van Steenhoek. I direct the Center for Prophetic Imagination.
And I'm Daniel Wolpert, Director Mike in the Minnesota Institute of Contemplation and Healing. And this is sort of part one of a little four-part series. I'm thinking four of Countdown to Coup. Countdown to Coup. So this is a big week. Again, 2021 has not solved all our problems. Pandemic is still raging. We're flailing with getting our vaccines distributed, and the GOP is trying to overthrow the government. So it's a great week to start the week, and
I am very much conspiracy theory averse in general, and anytime people say oh my God, this is bad, like when it comes to like how bad the politicians are, I'm like, oh, it's always been that bad. And I want to dismiss it. And then stuff comes out, I'm like, I'm still surprised when Donald Trump does really bad things, like that
really
live up to these expectations. Like, I just assumed that the government's already, like, so I was one of those people who's prone to think, Trump, Romney, they're all the same. Like, I would think that way. And at one point, I would have even been Democrat, Republican, they're all the same. Now, that's unnuanced and kind of dumb to think that, just blanket statement like that. But I still Democrats are not good, but they're not as bad as. And then Mitt Romney's bad, but not as bad as. But now, like, Donald Trump is, like, out-Donald-Trumping himself.
Yeah.
Continually. And I'm like, whoa. And so he's literally calling up Georgia. Saying, hey, find some votes for me. You can make that happen. You can find them. No one's going to question that. Like, it's so obvious, but then yet, even as obvious as it is, as dumb as it is, as out there as it is, his defenders are like, no, that's fake news.
You're making stuff up.
It's
right. Yeah, and so that's a setup for the particular way we want to get at this today, which was so I posted a really interesting article the other day that's from JAMA, which is the Journal of the American Medical Association, which is kind of one of the premier medical journals in the country.
Pretty good name. Pretty good acronym.
Pretty good name. JAMA. Yeah. JAMA. Could be jamming to JAMA. And And so this guy who is a physician at researcher at the University of California, San Francisco Medical Center, and he specializes in dementia studies, wrote up this very interesting commentary. Now, again, this was not a research study. This would actually be a pretty hard study to pull off, given what you're trying to show. But what he did was he looked at the issue of people with these conspiracy theories, you know, anti-COVID ideas, all this kind of stuff, and said, okay, look, there's a particular form of thinking in terms of anti-science education or lack of science education. And, you know, science education is not just about learning scientific facts, but it's about a whole way of learning how to think. And so getting to know the difference between fact and theory and hypothesis and opinion, all of which are actually different. I mean, you couldn't tell that by by reading the news these days. But those are different things. And so you learn what they are, and you learn kind of how to think about things and how to explore ideas. And so what this guy looked at is a lot of the discussion and conversation among folks who clearly do not have a lot of scientific acumen, and said, you know, what's really weird, a lot of these thought processes look really similar to some of the cognitive processing problems in dementia, in different kinds of dementia. And there are a lot of different kinds of dementia, different things that you see. And so he talks about some of these specific things. And so there are things like thinking somebody is there who's not there. There are things like looking at one person and thinking they're a different person. There are things like hearing one set of ideas and thinking it's the opposite set of ideas, right? I mean, all this stuff that we're seeing. and Americans, if you look at the average, are incredibly scientifically illiterate, especially relative to the rest of the world. Right. And so you look at a place like Japan, for example, which is, you know, has just as much internet, has just as much social media. People use their phones as much. They're addicted to all that stuff. Like, that's not any different than in America. But we do have is a much higher average science literacy, and they have not had any of the problems in dealing with the pandemic that we have had. And in fact, their total number of deaths is less than many single day deaths that we have had here. So this is a really interesting idea that part of what we're up against when we look at, yeah, you know, the dump bites and all these COVID folks and what's happening in the GOP and certain segments of it is that we literally have this malformation that is kind of rotting people's brains in a very similar way to organic dementia, which is not a good thing. It's not a good thing.
You know, and it shows you, like, there's a chicken and egg kind of question. Like, so certain ways of thinking can affect the structures of our brain. I like to talk about this all the time with, you know, the studies on the medial prefrontal cortex, like, which is the part of your brain that lights up if you look at a human face, that our conditioning can cause us to not cause the medial prefrontal cortex to not light up when looking at certain kinds of people. And those sort kinds of people tend to be the ones who we've been conditioned to see as lesser than. So there's all this research on that. So here we get this belief structure kind of shaping our brain structure, and then that getting in the way of being like, and then it's not a choice anymore. You're just instinctively not reacting to a human face. And it goes back and forth. And I like that you use the word malformation, because it's something Ruby Sales, Mama Ruby, always says about whiteness being a type of spiritual malformation. And I think that's true. And that actually affects your brain and can malform physically your brain. When we're seeing all these things are more interconnected than we'd like to think.
We would hope.
And it raises the problem, like, how do you remedy this? Because it's a holistic response is required to fix a holistic problem.
Yeah, and especially when you then see things like these white Christian schools, which are particularly flourishing across the South, but they exist everywhere in our country, many of which do not teach science at all, right? So all they teach is creationism. Mm-hmm. And so not only are you not getting the scientific education and learning how to think, but you are actively getting a formation that is anti all of that, right? That is the opposite of all of that. So you're being taught how to ignore reality. You're taught all these kinds of things. And yeah, and when you start doing that with kids, you know, in preschool and kindergarten, by the time they get to be young adults, so much of their identity, because this is the other thing that happens in terms of formation, right, is that when you're a teenager, you have this phase of psychological development called identity formation, where you now begin to get a sense of who am I, right? Who am I in a certain way? Now, this changes some through life, but it's a very powerful thing that happens at this time. And so if my identity formation is, you know, I am somebody who does not think in these ways. I am somebody who rejects science as being, you know, evil and part of George Soros and, you know, microchip brains and whatever nonsense you happen to be into. Then that's, you know, that's a very hard thing to shift.
No, and it's we've got some comments coming in.
Yeah, we got a few comments. Hello and stuff.
Before I get back on the topic, so we have some, you know, welcome to the robot bird. But then a suggestion, and you know, CK writes, bubonic, the owl Bubo in Greek mythology was a robotic replica of Athena's beloved magical owl of the same name. It's like, oops, not bubonic, lol. But you know what? I think bubonic would be a better name than Bubo because it fits with the pandemic theme. And plus, yeah, Bubo, right, and electronic or robotic, bubonic. I think that's a contender. It should be in the top five.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know if I get a vote, but
sure.
Catherine writes, your bird friend was rejected from the robot bird army for not looking enough like a live owl and for asking too many questions. Excited to see how they grow as a friend of transmission. Yeah.
Hopefully very, very excited to be here.
It'll be a hoot. Kathleen writes, moving on. My dad was a brilliant science teacher who suffered dementia for more than 10 years. After about 5 years, he started watching and quoting Fox News. I never knew for sure if his exposure to Fox News commentary worsened his condition. Yeah, that's sad. And I you hear more. We've always had versions of the story about kind of, you know, problematic relationship with a parent because of their conservative views. Like, but the level at which it's become an epidemic is kind of shocking. Mm-hmm. The number of people who said, before I could have a conversation, we'd argue. And so we'd agree not to talk about it. But now I can't even have a conversation at all because it's like they're a different person or they're living in a different world. I can't tell you how many times I've heard this. And this isn't something I've heard much before.
No, I also hear that all the time. And whether it's parents or friends or brothers and sisters, and right. And so, the, you know, what that indicates, right, when you say somebody is a different person, what you're essentially talking about, right, is that something has changed in their brain function. I mean, so our, you know, our organic structure of our brain influences how we are as a person, kinds of behaviors we manifest, the sort of emotional reactions we have, how we respond to other people, how we respond to information. And, you know, when somebody becomes organically demented, their brain structure changes. And, you know, we've all heard, known, have relatives, whatever, have had experience with parents. We know that they kind of become a different person, right? And people will say things like, well, you know, I lost my mom a long time ago, or I lost, you know, this person isn't really there anymore. And we know that that's because the structure of their brain has changed. And so, yeah, when we see these folks who have become different people, something has happened in their brain and with the way that they are receiving and processing information. This is very similar to cultic brainwashing, right? And so, you know, people talk about the fact that if you want to get somebody out of a cult, you have to deprogram them. And it's a very similar issue, right? You're the way that you are engaged with the information, that the sensory information that comes in, right? We receive sensory information from the world, sight, sound, you know, hearing, taste, touch, all of this. The way that you're processing that starts to shift. And in this case, not in a good way.
Julia writes, according to U.S. government stats, in 2015, there were 5.8 million students enrolled in private religious schools. That's a lot of miseducation going on. I mean, I didn't go to a Christian high school, but I went to a fundamentalist college for a while, and it's astonishing. I didn't take any, thank God I didn't take any science courses, because I clept out, which is where you get to take these tests and not have to take credits for school, because apparently I had enough science knowledge, at least for a fundamentalist college. I did have to take a cults class. And so it's amazing, like, how, you know, there's this clear, true Christianity here. And then everything else that doesn't fit into that is somehow a cult. So Catholics are a cult. Mormons are a cult. Liberals aren't a cult. They're just like, just bad. Like, there's just, everything is just in this bad zone. And there was no way of really engaging them critically from within. And so to me, this is kind of part of what I associate with this sort of like stuck way of thinking, where you can't even imagine anything outside of your own direct experience. Mm-hmm. So what works, makes sense for you, has to be true for everybody else. Now, so that's already one bad way of thinking, where you can't even imagine how someone else views things. But then not only to think, well, this is the only way of viewing things, but when you cling to that way of viewing things, even when it's harming yourself, that's where I see a lot of these thought patterns taking us. So, mm-hmm. You know, how many people in this country work, for example, in a way that harms their body, but they actually have conditioned themselves to not think it's that painful? I have a lot of friends like this that'll harm themselves in work and think, ah, it's no big deal, when it really is a big deal, because this, the belief in their own strength, kind of American individual, individualism, pull your, by your boots, all that sort of thinking, work sets us free, like all these sorts of conditioning kind of cause them to do things that are harmful to their body. I feel like we're in a hyper escalated version of that, where mm-hmm. somehow we want to cling so much to the comforts of white supremacy, Christo fascism, whatever. There's some belief system that's so important to us that without it, we won't even be able to make sense of our world, that we cling to so strongly that we're willing, or maybe not even willing, we're getting fucked up at almost every level by it, physically, spiritually. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where we're at. It's really exposed to everyone else who doesn't think that way. It's becoming obvious. Oh my God, that's hurting you. But if you talk, like if I talk to my relative or old friend, they think everybody else is effed up.
Right.
They're like a prophet of truth. It's painful to watch.
Yeah, and the pandemic is, of course, exhibit A in what you're talking about, right? I mean, this whole thing, this way of thinking that we're talking about has, caused unbelievable, unnecessary suffering. Mm-hmm. And then when you talk to people, you know, what they blame it on or their analysis of it is completely wrong. I mean, it's just completely incorrect, but there's no way that you'll convince them of that.
Catherine, the robot, one of the robot bird creators, writes, I have been hearing some really fascinating and encouraging stories from people who leave an upbringing in quote unquote Christian conspiracy thinking and learn to understand science and think critically. Most I have heard are young adults, but it does seem to be very possible to recover and change brain patterns. Also gives me empathy for myself and others who had a hard, long, hard time leaving toxic beliefs.
Yeah. Well, right. And so what, you know, Catherine, what you're talking about there is absolutely right, is that, you know, the difference between this, and again, this is a theory, this is a hypothesis, it's not a, a tested, proven kind of thing. But the obvious difference between, you know, what we're talking about and organic dementia is that this would be reversible, right? This would be changeable. We know that we have enough what's called neuroplasticity, which is the ability of our neuron patterns to change, such that when you begin to give different inputs, give different kinds of information, or surrounded by different sorts of repetitive messages, yeah, that this can get better. And, you know, and this is one of the things that, that I've been very curious about. I mean, assuming that Trump does leave the presidency in a couple of weeks, you know, at that point, we won't be hearing from him every second of every day. I mean, you could be if you subscribe to his Twitter feed or whatever, but the input will be less. And so at that point, it will be very interesting to see if some of this starts to shift a little bit. But you know, part of the challenge is that, right, at this point, it's not just him. There's this massive ecosystem of incredibly toxic folks who are churning out this crap 24/7. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if you're in deep, so to speak, it's not going to be easy to get out.
You know, I just thought of a great nerd analogy. Okay. So I'm in a Facebook group for world builders, like, cause I'm writing a series, fantasy series, you know, and world building and kind of fantasy books is a lot like being a dungeon master. I remember, like, so in a way, Donald Trump is like a dungeon master for people who don't know Dungeons and Dragons. It's the person who kind of sets the rules and sets mm-hmm. the conditions. And I remember hearing when I was getting into Dungeons and Dragons in middle school, a lot of the fundamentalist Christians told me not to, because they'd tell me these stories, some of which were true, that people would get really invested in their game so much that their identity was tied up in being a level 6 paladin or whatever. And then when that paladin died in a campaign, that, you know, they'd get so depressed that they'd kill themselves. This is the sort of stories you'd hear. I don't know how often it happened, but there's an analogy here about this sort of created world, which we've talked about before mm-hmm. in an episode about how this becomes like a dangerous game. And you're right, like, once that dungeon master isn't in play anymore and people have an opportunity to start engaging in different kinds of realities, there's a hope for them to break out of their world. Because right now I feel like a lot of this derangement that we're seeing is because people are so clinging to this world, again, which we've talked about a lot, that they're willing to fight and maybe even get to the point of killing to protect that. But once he's not in power, it might dissipate a little bit on its own because there will be this steady feedback into it. I hope. Yeah. Personally speaking, I remember for a long time I thought I was anti-queer, anti-LGBTQ because of my conservative beliefs. But I still felt this dissonance. Like, I felt bad about it. And so mm-hmm. as soon as I had a mental way of justifying instead of like defending with the like protecting myself from the cognitive dissonance, I realized, like, what if they're fine? What if in some ways they're better? What if in my mm-hmm. marriage I can learn from them? And once that cracked open, it was like a big release, and the cognitive mm-hmm. dissonance went away, and I entered into another world. That's what it almost felt like. Mm-hmm. So there's yeah. hope for these folks
yeah.
to enter
yeah.
into a better world. Once if we can leave cracks open for them and stop take away their strange drug of Trumpism. Getting back to the comments.
Yes.
Lost track.
Julia, that's a funny one.
Go. Here it is. Funny. My mom had dementia, and during the 2016 election, she would shout at TV calling Trump, "You bastard." She couldn't tell you my name, but she called that one right.
Yeah.
That's a much better. Series writes, creationism was taught as a viable theory in my Christian university. Yeah.
Right. You know, and so that gives credence right, to this reality, you know, it's at a university, it's taught as a viable theory. And so then people are going to be of the mindset of going, oh, well, you know, I should listen to this, right? And you know, we've talked about the Overton window a lot here. And, you know, and this is a similar sort of thing, is that as soon as you give something credence, right, what you do is you now open the process, you know, Mark, that you just kind of described, you described that in a positive way. Like as soon as you gave that thought credence, like what if these folks are fine, you know? So this is the thing on the other side. As soon as you give some crazy theory credence, like, well, maybe birds are robots and let's teach a course in that. Now, suddenly, you've opened the door for people to start entering that world, as you call it, absorbing that pathway.
Mm-hmm. Rochelle writes, I attended an extremely conservative Christian college that was still pretty dedicated to the liberal arts. A lot of students who attended thinking that it was going to reinforce their ABECA, I don't know what that is, curriculum, or be Youth Camp 2.0 were scandalized by receiving regular science education.
Right. Yeah, it's probably shocking.
But it's interesting. Like, I remember I had someone gave me a book when I was in high school. It's one of these science creationism books that said, well, here's how we know we have a young Earth. When they landed on the moon, they only sunk into about 6,000 years worth of moon dust. And they were expecting to, like, sink into this giant pillowy surface. And they didn't because young Earth creationism is true. Like I read all this stuff and absorbed it and was good. And this is the way, then, like, you're one of these handful of people who know the truth, and all those other people, like, if you start taking this science stuff too seriously, pretty soon they'll start telling you, wait, scientifically speaking, there aren't even just two biological sexes. And you're like, what? This is defying the word of God. And so this sort of need to fit into this strict authoritarian way of seeing the world where this one way of understanding the scriptures is enshrined, science does become an enemy. And to me, this is true. It is a slippery slope. Once you start taking science seriously, it's really almost impossible to be a fundamentalist Christian.
Yeah. Well, and that's because it's not just a set of facts. It's a whole way of thinking.
Yeah. And once you start thinking that way, then it's impossible. It gets harder and harder.
It's hard to go back.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah. So this is where it's funny, like, they're right. It is a slippery slope, and these ideas are dangerous to their faith. Yeah, right. Yeah. They know the truth, and so that's why they resist it. Mark writes, the narratives to which we are exposed and which we choose to listen to as dominant and or truthful play such a dramatic role in shaping our thought. That the U.S. education system does such a poor job of teaching critical and rational thinking makes it easy for U.S. citizens to fall prey to dominant narratives, which are pumped into us.
Yeah, and that's true in general. And then, you know, as we said, it's accelerated by a lot of this Christian private school situation, which, you know, it's like when I talk to my colleagues in Louisiana, for example, I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, the percentage of the white child population there that is not receiving a science education at this point is staggering. And so, you know, you time that out a generation or two and, you know, you're in a really bad situation, not to mention the fact that from an economic point of view, those kids are completely screwed because, you know, they're never going to be able to get most of the jobs that are out there other than the most menial minimum wage kinds of work because, you know, they won't know anything that you need in a modern technical society to work.
Gus writes, so there's a podcast, thank you, Librarian Gus, where a couple of reporters lead each other on deep dives on subjects called You're Wrong About, that recently did an excellent episode on losing relatives to Fox News. It was really cathartic to hear about how this happened to others. Yeah. I mean, I've avoided talking to some of my relatives because I just don't want to have these sorts of painful conversations because I know what they think.
Yeah.
And so I can't imagine. Like,
it's really bad.
Tyler writes, do we have to worry about something like Trump TV popping up soon?
Yeah. I mean, it's already happening, right? I mean, if you look at, you know, what is it, Newsmax and Right. I mean, Fox, you know, we've talked about the fact that Fox News is now a moderate news outlet, right, compared to some of these other places.
The world we live in where that's, again, that's the Overton window play. But I could totally see Trump either starting a new network or one of these networks.
Just buying one of these networks or
making him the president, you know, like,
yeah,
I don't know. Yeah. Like, there's all kinds of possibilities. The guy is really, it'll be disturbingly fascinating to watch what happens if and when he leaves office.
Yeah.
Leah's co-signing on Gus's the podcast suggestion. Julie writes, I'm thankful for critical thinking gained from growing up in material poverty. Existential and other problem-solving tasks were called for many times a day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it also helps. It also helps that you're pretty brilliant. So, I mean, that, you know, and that's the other issue, right? Is that again, the folks at sort of the top end of, you know, the intellectual scale in any reality tend to do a lot better. The challenge is this average, right? And that you know, if what's happening at the bottom end and in the middle is severely lacking, you know, that's, I mean, there are all these people, like, how do you get 74 million people to vote for Trump? Well, I mean, this is how. And it's a very challenging issue. All right, we're past time. We got a bunch more comments, so
blaze through them.
Try to blaze through them. We're not good at blazing so much, but we'll try.
Mark writes, the U.S. quote-unquote news industry will continue to make hay with Trump's tweets for as long as they can generate ad revenue from stirring the pot and continuing the reality TV insanity that passes for journalism. I think there'll be less energy there if he's not president. I'm sure, like, if... Yeah. He'll cause controversy to report on it, but I would imagine there'd be a little bit less. I mean, that's what I'm hoping.
But, you know, as you're pointing out, Mark, the financial incentive is very powerful and not working in our favor.
Melissa writes, when a family member first began to express a fascination in conspiracy, I honestly feared she was in early cognitive decline. I did neuropsych assessment as a career, but 20 years later, I can say it was just Fox News. In teaching cognitive psychology, I learned a little bit about cognitive complexity styles and preferences, which seem to have a temperamental basis and is unrelated to intelligence. I think add a simple cognitive complexity style with paranoia or governmental distrust, it tapers off there. Unfortunately, we can they only accept comments so long in this platform, so we are unable to see what the rest of that said. Catherine writes, evangelical Trumpism is also so persistent because it is already a closed loop, authoritarian belief system that can make anything true to its followers, with the catch that those things turning out to be massively false, i.e. Trump is a lifelong scammy scumbag, would threaten the entire belief and power system. And the psychic and social penalties for questioning or leaving are real and harsh.
Right.
Yeah, I like naming it as evangelical Trumpism because it's really, I mean, he hacked the evangelical authoritarian mindset.
Yeah, perfectly.
With brilliance. Like, remember when people would just laugh and see how dumb he was?
Yeah.
I was never bought it because, like, you can't be that massive of a huckster without having some sort of brilliance. And he does have some sort of sinister brilliance. Kate writes, we are not taught non-dual ways of seeing. Everything is presented as a strict dichotomy, politically, spiritually, etc. Karen writes, I've found both and thinking really helpful as opposed to either or. It's helped me understand that multiple small T truths can coexist and that all knowledge and ways of thinking are limited. Fraser writes, how do we develop the deprogramming work? And that might be worth an episode right there, just exploring that together.
And that's part of what we've been doing, and you know, our own spiritual direction program that we're starting up. You know, I think this, in a lot of ways, these conversations, but we got to keep thinking about more and more avenues for that.
I think to me it starts with foster, like, humility and curiosity are kind of the bedrock for not being stuck in a way of thinking. There's Robot Robbie Bubo bubonic.
Bubo. Yeah, I don't like Robbie. Bubo is kind of fun.
Yeah, you're going to have to come up with some name by the end of the week, Dan.
Okay.
That's my assignment. Mark writes, this has a lot to do with the way Western philosophical thought for centuries has adhered to the law of the excluded middle. I'm not sure exactly what the law of the excluded middle is.
So if you can get it up within the next 15 seconds, we could.
Julia writes, Daniel, thanks for the brilliant comment. I was functionally illiterate up till 2007 and always felt intellectually challenged as if my IQ were equal to my income.
Well, sorry for that. You are brilliant. So IQ and income have nothing to do with each other.
No, and I often feel like, Julia, like I grew up in lower income rural Minnesota, and I became a true believer in lots of toxic ways of thinking. But one thing that I noticed was different between me and other people is I always had this slight anger because I noticed things were off, that my colleagues and compatriots did not have that same sort of like kind of anxiety about this kind of how things didn't match reality. Like, so that kept me going. It's like, I was always curious about why that was. And so I would suspect that it's not just that you're brilliant, but you could always tell something was off. And I feel like that's the sort of thing that gets beat out of you in certain conservative spaces. And thankfully for me, I have had a little bit of oppositional defiance or something, because the more people would get mad at me, the more I suspected I was onto something. And I can kind of, I don't want to read too much into it, but it wouldn't be hard for me to imagine you being similarly inclined.
Yeah. Well, you're also brilliant too. So it helps. It helps.
Thank you.
All right. So tomorrow,
Google law of excluded middle. It is known term in philosophical thought. At least I was exposed to it through my study of philosophy for my BA. So I'll look it up afterwards and
we'll check it out.
Maybe I'll let people know what that's about in our next episode.
So tomorrow, part two, coup week, and Georgia election tomorrow. So. And very excited for our new mascot. Thank you, Adam and Catherine. Mm-hmm. Catherine is the parent.
Nice. With that, all right. We will bid you adieu.
Love you all.
See you next time.